Good morning. Good morning. That's about all I got there this morning. Thanks, Jacob. I spent a little time in urgent care yesterday with the. And they told me I had a sinus infection going on, or coming to fruition, or whatever you call that. That wasn't great news, but they're taking care of me, so that ought to be okay eventually. Tim Carell asked us to remember his uncle Bob Warnick in the hospital with gallstones, and thinks he's going to have his gallbladder removed. That's a concern, and so we want to remember him. Also, Children's Bible Time needs a teacher. Ages 3 through 5 years of that class, just let Kristen or Julie know how excited you are to do that job, and I'll be excited to place you in there. Terry and Debbie Sullivan's neighbor lost their job due to the closing of Mitchell Lace, and ask that we pray. About 150 people lost their job and all in that, and there's something working that hopefully something would work out for that situation that could, I don't know all the details, but that it could be worked back out for it to open, I believe. So let's pray for all of that. I'm glad to be here. I hope you're all glad to be here too. You look really happy. I mean, real thrilled to be here today, and I am too. So let's pray together. Father, thanks for this day, all the blessings that you've given to us, all the work in our lives that you've done, Lord. Thanks for loving us like you do. Thanks for the encouraging songs that we've sung together as we've spent time this morning. Thanks for the message shared through Jason, Lord, as we were partaking of the communion. And thanks for what a great opportunity and what a blessing it is to get to be part of the communion service, Lord. Father, pray for Bob Warnick, Lord, that you would bless him and heal him. Be with all those who are sick that we're missing, Lord, of a part of this family. Be with Bob and be with Tim and the family and encourage them as he's struggling with his health. And just pray that you would heal him and quickly, Lord. Pray for all the folks at Mitchell Lace who've lost their jobs in this tough time. And Lord, pray that you would provide. We know that you are the great provider. And pray that you would just see them and bless them, Lord, and encourage Terry and Debbie's neighbor through them. They're fun, so help them to have opportunities to minister to them through that. Father, for our children's Bible time, I pray that you would remind us how important it is to have children and what a blessing it is to get to teach them about you. And Father, I know there are folks here that you've encouraged, you've challenged, you've convicted, you've moved. They've felt it, they know it. To do something with this time, Lord. There's a lot of folks who've done it, a lot of folks who are you're raising up to do it, and pray that they would just take their time and step out with you in faith and go teach. Father, we're blessed to be here, blessed to be a part of this family. I am certainly blessed to be a part of this family. I thank you that I get to stand here again today and proclaim a message about you. It is your glory and honor, and it certainly is your provision in my life to allow me to do this. Pray that you would use me. Pray that you would encourage us and draw us near to you in this time. And it's in your son's name I pray. Amen. Well, Vacation Bible School was fabulous. And I think when we all leave today, everybody ought to grab Steve and pat him on the back and encourage him. Because he does a wonderful job. There are certain things that God gets to do very well through all of us. And I know that that's for sure not the only thing that he does with Steve. There are a lot of great things. If you hang around him long, you're going to see God do a lot of wonderful things with him and through him and for him. Vacation Bible School, he rocks Vacation Bible School. He does it really well. And take a moment or two and don't miss. Encouragement is a big deal, and we need to take our time to share with one another in those cases. You're allowed to smile today. I know my voice is very sedated. If you fall asleep today, or very sedating, if you fall asleep, I'll probably have to say, hey, wake up. I'm not finished yet. But I apologize for my voice. Anyway, our society today, this is what I want to get at today. Our society today deals a lot with disposable things. We're very disposable oriented. We're throwaway, in fact. We make everything to be thrown away. We have lots of dishes or plates and cups. We have diapers and have for quite some time. I don't know the other way, but I hear it used to be pretty tough. We're so disposable. The transmission went out of my truck a few months ago, and it's going to cost me $1,400 to fix it, something like that. It ended up being a little more expensive than that. But it was going to cost a lot of money to fix it, and one of my friends said, well, why don't you just get a new one? I can't just get a new one. My truck's not throwaway. I can't afford just to throw it away, just park it and be done with it. Everything's not disposable, though we are really trained to believe it is. We have gloves that are, a lot of things are so handy. We have gloves that doctors and nurses and health professionals can put on and treat people. What a gift. People can clean places that need clean. It's a neat thing. It's a good thing to a degree. But people aren't disposable. Relationships are not disposable. There are a lot of things in our lives that are not disposable. You can't just take them and throw them away. They take work. And my guess is, if you watch people for very long, if you watch folks interact with one another, when times get tough, and especially with their relationship with God, I believe we see this idea coming across that when something isn't working or when something doesn't fit well, you just throw it away. You just be done with it and go on to the next thing. And I see that a lot with relationship with God. I see it a lot with relationship with one another. What I want to share today, what I want us to think about, is how important it is that the important things in our life, that we maintain them. I'm not keeping my truck long if I don't treat it well. If I don't check the transmission fluid and check the oil and check my tires, my truck's not going to last very long. I don't rebuild the transmission when it needs it. If I don't take care of my body, if I don't do what God has called me to do and respect it properly, it isn't lasting long. My house, our homes, they're not lasting long. And to believe that God, our relationship with Him, is going to continue on in at a great pace or in a great place, we've deceived ourselves if we think that we can coast in a relationship with God or anyone else. And what I want to do today is, this is a difficult thing to do in a group setting. I want to talk one-on-one with you, all of you, okay? And what I'm thinking about is as I was working on this, is this seems to be a conversation I have a lot with people, but we're in a group setting. I was telling Scott, but when we're in a group setting, this is an awkward conversation because nobody really wants to admit it. How are you doing with your relationship with God? It's awesome. Really? Spending a good time with Him? Absolutely. Prayer? Yeah. Reading? Sure. Meditating? Absolutely. Seeking God for... That's right, I'm doing my best. When we're together, instead of it being honest time and time to really get to a place where we can encourage one another, it's like this thing wells up in us and we're afraid to admit our real struggles. But one-on-one we all struggle. One-on-one, I'm not praying like I should. One-on-one, I don't read like I should. Meditate? That's some weird word. I don't even know what that means. Seeking God, I'm trying. Forgiveness? Man, if you really knew. It's popular, and it's right here to do these things and do them well. But when we get away from here, when the songs aren't still stirring in us, and while the sermon's not ringing in our ears, we come to a different place, don't we? We come to a simpler place, a place where distractions really come to play. And where frustrations every day really cause us not to want to work well with one another. And so what I want to do is, I want to just share for a little bit, what I would share if I were talking to you one-on-one, or you were talking to me one-on-one, what you'd share with me. It happens a lot with adults and college students and high school kids when we're talking. I'm struggling with this. Well, what do? You make some application. You go to Scripture. You encourage one another. And so today, what I want to encourage us about is how to maintain the right relationships, and especially the right relationship in your life. And the right one is the one with Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen? The best relationship, the only relationship that is important, the one that everything else stems from, is your relationship, my relationship with God. Yet it's the one that tends to sometimes get the less tending. In fact, I think it would be fair to say in my life, and that's very convicting to me, and maybe in yours, or at least we'll offer it as a question. Do you find yourself treating your material gifts from God better than the relationships that He's given you? Do you tend it better? Do you maintain it better? My grass, my house, my car, and things like that versus my one-on-one with him and my one-on-one with those blessings, those people, my wife, my husband, my friends, my kids, everything that he's given me. That's convicting in itself. So anyway, with that in mind, what I want to share today, and we're going to look at a few scripture, but the first thing I want to talk to you about is your one-on-one time with God. That's where we're going. That's the main thing we're getting at today. One-on-one time with God. If I'm going to be just a person, what I would say is, Sean Gregg, if you're going to get to the place he wants you to get to, and if I'm going to get there, if I'm really going to be who he's called me to be, I've got to be in his face. I've got to spend time with him. And that's the case, and what I would share, if we were doing this one-on-one, I would just make a practical application. What husband and wife are going to work well together if they don't spend time together? All the studies have shown that 15 minutes of quality time is what most dads spend with their kids each day. Yet we wonder why kids are whacked out. You can't dial them back. They're on drugs, or they're looking for help and hope in other places. Why? Because they get no alone time. They get no FaceTime with dad, very little with mom. And we, as a church, the question would be, how are you doing one-on-one with God? How are you doing with him? The application's simple, as we said before. Husband, wife, friend, church, family, daughter, son. How you doing with that? That determines how your relationship's growing. And the same thing can be applied with God. How are things with me and God? Am I spending time with him? And what would that time look like? We've got three things here about what that time would look like. There's a lot more than that. But three big ones. One thing that you'd look at if you're trying to encourage relationship and help it to grow, and you're looking at one time with God, what would I be thinking about? And one of the first things when you're trying to build a strong relationship that is important is prayer with God, communication with one another. What prayer is simply communicating with God. It's telling him what's going on with me, how I'm feeling. It's telling him what I think of him, praising him, honoring him in prayer. It goes like this. The words I said about Steve just a few minutes ago, that's a simple prayer. It's the beginning. If I'm talking with God, it's communication. Steve does a wonderful job. Steve is a gifted man, and God uses him in a wonderful way. And that's what I would say to God. God, what a day you've given us today. It's not public always. It's going to be private. I'm going to spend some time talking and sharing and pouring out my heart to him. All the things he's done in my life, I'm letting him know that he is working in a powerful way, and I'm thanking him for it. I'm going to tell him the things I'm struggling with. I'm going to ask him about it. I say this because for some of you, you want to yawn and go to sleep because prayer seems so simple. But for others, we don't even have a clue how to pray. We don't know what to say. We don't know how to even begin, let alone get to a place where it feels like relationship. It's awkward at best. And yet God says, I'm your father. Come on in. This is relationship. Sit down. Let's talk a while. And so if I'm going to grow, if I'm going to maintain my relationship with God, the first thing I've got to do is talk. I got to communicate. Scripture talks about praying without ceasing. In fact, there's some great, great verses on prayer. But the ones that I really want to get at today in stressing the importance of prayer is that Jesus, the Son of God, God in the flesh, prayed. He spent time in prayer. One of those days, Jesus went out to the mountainside to pray and spent the night praying to God. When morning came, he called his disciples to him and chose 12 of them, whom he also designated apostles. And that's shortly after this, he's calling these guys out. But you see, Jesus, the Son of God, God in the flesh, he takes time. He steps aside from everything else that's going on, and he just gets time with God. And while he's alone with God, he prays. He talks. He communicates. He opens himself up and he tells him what he's thinking. He tells him what he's feeling. He's listening and he's praying. It's important for Jesus to do it. It must be important for us. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. He talked. He communicated. Big deal. Number one in relationships, communication, talking and listening. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions. And this is right after putting on the armor of God in Ephesians 6. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and request. With this in mind, be alert and keep on praying. Always keep on praying for all the saints. And you hear the call. This is something we do. Scripture says, pray without ceasing. That you know, there's a place to get with God, this place of communication where, you know, I'm probably not even going to say amen. We're probably going to get so close that I'm just going to talk. I'm just going to open up a conversation, or I'm going to continue this thing. Praying without ceasing, communicating always. But prayer, though it's very important, the whole relationship with God depends on it. The communicating my feelings, my thoughts, my needs, what's going on with me, though Scripture says God already knows before we ask. He says, I want you to pray to me. I want you to talk to me. I want to hear you. So that's very important. There's another side of this thing also that's very important in relationships. And that is, for God, it's reading the Word. For us, one-on-one, it would be called listening. Listening. The greatest struggle with people is it's very difficult when you talk to anyone. What's going on in your relationship? Well, I feel like he never hears me. I feel like he doesn't listen. What's going on? Well, he's thinking of what he's going to say next, always. He never hears what I'm going to say. If you listen to relationship, one of their number one complaints after prayer, people who are struggling in a relationship, right after after talking or communicating what I'm thinking, the next thing is that you never listen to me, never hears what I'm saying. And in relationships, that's very important. If you're struggling in relationships, I guarantee you, communication is a big one. And we're in your relationship with God, the talking and the listening. And how do we listen to God? What way do you listen to God? How do you hear Him? Obviously, we're going to be in His Word, right? We're going to look in the Word. We're going to seek Him in His Word. We're going to want to know Him in His Word. Scripture says in 2 Timothy 2:15, do your best to present yourselves to God as one approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, who correctly handles the Word of truth. I would know how to use this thing. I understand the Word. I'm in it. I'm reading it. The Old Testament talks about binding these things on your forehead, writing over your doorpost, that you know the Word. You hear God speak, the Spirit of God, listening, the convicting and the encouraging. Also in 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good word. How do you get this stuff? You're in the Word. You're reading the Word. You're coming to know God through the Word. You're listening to Him. How do you maintain a right relationship with people? You spend time with them. You talk and you listen. How do you maintain a right relationship with God? It's the very same thing. You spend personal time. You talk and you listen. But listening's deeper than that. I know that often we give a listen. We hear somebody speak, but we never move on what they're saying. And so often this is the case with God. Rich, every now and then when he's praying, he'll say, help us to be doers of the Word and not forgetful hearers, right? And that's really important. There's a big difference. You can read the Word, right, and not have a clue what it said. You know the times you're reading and you get through verse after verse after verse and chapter after chapter, and I don't have a clue what I just read. And it's the same, it's the exact same thing if you're not careful with the relationship with people. And the idea of listening is so important. And this relationship to God and one another is so tied together. I love what Jason was sharing up here, not exactly here, but making points about the struggles in our lives. But the next point I want to make is about this meditation. It's taking the time, not just to pray, not just the reading or the listening, but the meditating, the taking in of what's being said. It's where the change comes, as Jason was talking about, the transformation. You can talk a lot, and you can listen a lot, but if this thing is never internalized, and we don't dwell on it, and we don't think about it, what changes? Nothing, really. And so the meditation on God's Word, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you are called to peace. And be thankful. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom. And as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. Hear the dwelling in you richly. This Word, it's in you. You've been listening, and then you're dwelling on it. You're meditating on it. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about these things. Dwell on them. Meditate on them. Internalize these and allow God to work. It's a deeper listening thing, deeper listening process than just the hearing. It goes deeper than that. I'm internalizing this thing and I'm thinking about it. FaceTime, one-on-one time, communicating, listening, talking, listening, and then internalizing. What relationship works without it? Your husband, you and your spouse's relationship won't work without it. I know that my daughter and I grow distant without it. My best friends are distant without it. You can't fight for it. And certainly, though God says, I'm with you always, I will never leave you nor forsake you, your relationship with God will for sure grow distant and powerless and faithless if you and I don't spend time one-on-one with God. The amazing thing about this is the call that if you read in Scripture and you're spending time there, that my relationship with God will actually call me to better and healthy and committed relationships to one another, right? And vice versa. There's like a gauge. The better I live with God, the better He calls me to live with my brothers and sisters. And the better I live with my brothers and sisters, the result is the better relationship I have with God. Relationships aren't disposable, and we don't get to throw them away. They take work. They take a lot of work sometimes. Your relationship with God takes a lot of work, a lot of commitment, a lot of getting beyond myself and choosing to spend time. And with that thought in mind, the next point that we make is, if we're going to grow here, then the natural process is that I'm going to have to get past me, and I'm going to have to seek it. If it is my wife, I don't know. There's not a lot of places we go when I just think about myself. I have to eat maybe where I want to eat, but not in our relationship. We're not growing very far if Jamie just thinks about Jamie. Not much is happening if all I'm concerned about is what I'm getting out of this thing next, what's going to happen in this thing next. If our relationship becomes Jamie-oriented, just all about me, we're going nowhere. Same relationship with my friends. It doesn't take long. You can look back over your life and think about those relationships that you struggled with or things that didn't work well. And a lot of times, there was a me in it that was bigger than the we in it. And so, with this in mind, the application here, the idea that if I'm going to have the right relationship, I'm going to maintain it well, then obviously I have to think about God first. I have to want Him first. The communication, the meditation, the reading, and the praying, incredible. What they're going to lead me to is to seek Him first. He's going to be first. He's got to be first. There's no other way. Relationships don't work where I make me the center of it. They work when I pursue you first. And so, obviously, the right thing and the only thing to say is that our relationships are best with God when we seek Him. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you. There's so much distraction and so much hassle and problem in the world today that when we try and we look toward our relationship with God and expect it to be maintained without effort, it's never going to happen. He's already made that clear to us, that you can't serve two masters. You're going to love one or hate the other. And so I'm calling you to seek me, that I want you to pursue me. And then Scripture says you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. And so not only can we look at just a simple relationship model and say, this is how things work with God. This is a practical way to apply this. But you also can look in Scripture, and it's obvious when He says, seek me first. You'll find me when you seek me. If you would seek me, all the things that you pursue will be added to you as well. When I think about relationships and we're thinking about this application, one of the greatest struggles that I've had and one of the greatest struggles I watch us struggle with is the idea of forgiveness, getting ourselves to a place where we can free others and be freed by others. It's so easy to talk about forgiveness in terms of I can't forgive and I won't forgive, versus that I actually have to also accept forgiveness from others as well. And if I'm going to maintain a right one-on-one relationship with people, there's no way that forgiveness is not going to be a part of it. There are several things that are very important, six of them here on this on your slide today, that I think are major. The prayer, or the communication, the prayer, the listening, the talking, the listening, the hearing, really, the idea of seeking first, pursuing the best, and then forgiveness. It's always going to come up. There's no relationship we're going to be a part of. There's no relationship that we're going to be a part of. The relationship, that forgiveness will not be a necessity one way or another. You to me to you. The amazing thing about God is it's only one way, right? With God, the forgiveness and the grace is only one way. The struggle we have is actually getting there to accept it, getting there to receive it, actually being real enough in relationship through the talking and the listening and the meditating and the seeking, that we believe in Him enough, that we trust Him enough to actually take our struggles to Him and know that forgiveness is real. All of these that we've mentioned so far, if you spend much time at all with someone one-on-one, these are big struggles, and forgiveness is huge. It causes us to be insecure. It causes us to be jealous. It causes us to overreact. It makes us insensitive. It does a lot of harmful things in relationships. And the same can be said with our relationship with God. Without forgiveness, without being able to go to Him and know forgiveness is real, we have a really, really dysfunctional relationship. We can't get to a better page with Him. And so here's some great scripture for that. For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive you your sins. The calling to be a forgiving people, a forgiving brother and sister, friend, father, mother. Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother when he sins against me? Up to seven times? And Jesus answered, I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times. I remember my dad preaching this sermon. It was always so confusing to me. You know, he's reading out of King James, 7 times 70. And he just, never stop. You always forgive. I'm sorry. You always love. It means that there's no end to it. You have a heart of forgiveness. And when I was looking this scripture up, I called back so many memories. And I'm thankful for that relationship. And I'm reminded, when I'm thinking about my dad, that you have no good relationship without forgiveness. The receiving it and the giving it. We got to get used to it. It's a way of life. As important as communication is, the praying or the talking, the reading the word or the listening, the meditating or the thinking about the struggle that someone's going through, the seeking others first, God obviously first, and others who you're in relationship instead of yourself. Forgiveness just seems to be something that we overlook. Forgiveness seems to be something, it's not an issue. I hear things like, well, I don't know if I'll ever be able to forgive them what they did. I don't know, well, even if they apologize, maybe. Maybe if they could tell me, if they could bring it up and they would tell me that they were sorry. Eventually, I'm sorry. I wish I felt better to tell you this on a better terms today, but I'm sorry. It doesn't work like that. Forgiveness isn't given because someone apologizes. Forgiveness is given because you're a child of God. Forgiveness is given because He forgave you. Forgiveness is given because it's His character. He's merciful, He's loving, He's caring. And He knows that we are miserably unworthy and we're going to fall and trip and stumble every day. And then if I can't look at myself and know how unworthy and how pathetically unable I am to do this well and think that you should be able to do it better than me, that I should get some slack that you don't get back, that's a mess. It's not right relationship. That's not godly relationship. And so it's not an alternative to forgive. You don't get to get around to it one day. You might not feel great about it. You might not even like it. But you give it up. You let it go. And then you go tell God, I'd let it go. Heal me. Help me. Because it still feels miserable. It's not saying it's going to feel great. But you give it up. And you forgive. And you let it go. Forgiveness is not an option. Jesus on the cross, I just can't imagine him feeling all that well. I just can't imagine feeling like forgiving. Or waiting on an apology. He just forgave. And even the words, Father, forgive them, they don't even know what they're doing. Wow. And I really, and you know this idea, when someone hurts you, I know they knew. They knew, they were thinking about it. And we just build and build this stuff, and then we're prisoners to it. And in these shackles of bitterness and all these things, that forgiveness is so important. The giving it and the receiving it. And especially when you walk into the throne room of God, there's a lesson about this with one another that helps us get to a better place with Him. And that is, when we model this well, we can grasp His forgiveness better. When we do this right, it's so hard for a person to see a father, because so few fathers live well. So hard to see God as a father, because so many fathers don't live well. But man, when one does model it well, so much easier to see God as Father, right? And when we forgive and we're about forgiving, it's so much easier to go in the presence of God and get forgiveness, to understand it well. It's a big deal, and I just want to encourage you to encourage me. Our relationships aren't working. They're not getting better without forgiveness. And humility. I preached a sermon once. Humility, it's that elusive thing. Once you think you got it, and you tell someone you got it, you lost it. You can't brag about it. I'm very humble. I told someone, yeah. Humility. What do you do with humility? It's the call. It's a wrestle. It's something you fight every day. Humility. Mother Teresa, she, I think I've shared this here before, and you've all heard it. I know this, but it needs to be said here. She was given the Nobel Peace Prize for all her wonderful work in India and all the ways that she served, the commitment she had. And so at this ceremony, all the dignitaries and all the kings and presidents and everybody are there, all the news media, newspapers, and everybody's dressed up really nice. And she comes in this kind of holy little skirt and patched up, and she receives a reward. And afterwards, a very unwise media person sticks a microphone in her face and says, So, how did you feel here with all these, you being Mother Teresa, but you're here with all these great people, that's funny, dignitaries and media, kings and all the people that are anybody in the world. How'd you feel, you, being here with them? And she said, you know when Jesus was riding into Jerusalem on the donkey and they were laying palm branches down, Hosanna, Hosanna, he said, yes, he said, do you suppose the donkey thought that was for him? No. He said, I'm the donkey. That's all I am. Being a donkey fits me well. I don't get there very well, okay? I don't get there very well. I can fall into it. I can accidentally stumble into it at times. But to choose to be nothing, to choose to be humble, to choose to elevate others above myself, that's not so natural. Should be natural. We're made in the image of God. Unfortunately, we've been trained by the world pretty well to get mine, to have my way. And so Scripture very convictingly tells us, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. And that's difficult. Each one of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. And when I think about this with God, that's very honorable, and it sounds great, and I need to do that better. But when I think about it with you, and that's what goes with all of these things, that God is calling me to seek you better than me and to raise you above me, that's where it becomes difficult, doesn't it? It becomes very difficult when we bother one another and we compete with one another and we don't make time for one another. It gets really difficult to exalt you above me. I'm too busy trying to make you know that I'm worth being around. Also, that's Philippians. Ephesians, as a prisoner of the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love, making every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. And so when my call, my conviction in working with this sermon was the idea that the great relationships don't happen by accident, and they certainly do not exist without maintenance. Nothing good exists without maintaining. Even that vinyl siding stuff that was supposed to last forever has to be taken care of. That stuff doesn't work. And nothing works without maintenance. You have to take care. You have to put effort. You have to choose it. And the odd thing about relationships, especially relationships in God, and the ones He leads you to with people, not only do you do maintenance as needed, it's actually, you would call it preventative maintenance. He wants you to intend to do it. He wants you to want to do it and do it well, to put others first by choice and to be happy about it. But the only way we're going to get there, the only way we're going to get there is the right relationship with Him. We're going nowhere without a right relationship with Him. We're going nowhere spiritually. We're going nowhere when this place is all over without a right relationship with Him. And it's going to come through one-on-one time, through prayer, through reading His Word, through meditating on it, and just letting him bother us and work on us and challenge us and affirm us by seeking Him first, by choice. I want this. By forgiveness and going into His presence, and because of understanding it better with people, I understand it better with Him. And by being humble, being a person who says, I get down, you know the song, I'll humble myself before You because I know You'll take care of me. I'll put others first because You'll look out for me. I know You will lift me up. And the scripture I just wanted to end with before I shut this off, we'll just leave that at that. Thank you, Jacob. Once again, scripture I wanted to end with here. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved. Listen to the words again. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. And what I share with you today is none of this is happening, not with Him, without time spent and without intending maintenance, and it's certainly not happening with one another unless our time is spent with Him and He leads us to spending that kind of time with one another. Thanks for your time this morning. Thanks for being patient with me. If you're here this morning and you're struggling in this relationship, if you're not His, you're not in this relationship at all, and this would be a great day to do it. You come forward, and as Romans says, if we have been united with Him like this in His death, speaking of baptism, we'll also be united with Him in His resurrection. We'd love to baptize you into Jesus so that you could live a new life in Him. Or if you're struggling as a child of God in all of these relationships with God, with one another, all you need to do is come forward. There'll be two wonderful elders on either side up here that would love to pray with you. Why don't you come?